Hi, I'm Nicole.
I'm Shiv.
And I'm Jaren. And this is Clearly Unclear, the podcast where we talk about pretty much anything that we find interesting.
From movies to politics, philosophy to medicine, personal experiences to barroom chats.
Join us for a casual conversation among friends, interspersed with the exploration of curious minds seeking to understand the world around them. This journey is bound to be clearly unclear.
So it's been a while since we've all gotten together and spoken about how our lives have been going. Obviously, A-levels is over and we've all moved on to different things. So I don't know, how is everyone feeling? How is the transition like?
I mean, I guess we should talk about like where we are now so that everyone has like a bit of
context. Oh, right, true. Right, so I'm in the UK. At the University of Warwick, studying PPE. Nicole?
I'm supposed to be in the UK, and I'm supposed to be studying at the University of Glasgow for medicine, but I've been doing like my course online, and I will be for the rest of the first year. Jay?
So, I'm hoping to next year, and at the moment it's looking like Monash University for medicine, though there are some things and uncertainties that need to be cleared up and discussed, but yeah.
What have you guys been doing on the side, I guess, apart from like the main things which would be studies for me and Shiv and like, yeah.
What have I been doing on the side? let's see. Jay, why don't you start this off?
All right, Shepherd, do tell us about your trip to
Jesus Christ. Sorry, I'll stop interrupting. Okay, good.
So for the past few months after we've graduated, on the side, I guess the main thing was tuition, because I started tuition mainly because I heard of it from Nicole. Nicole started doing tuition 2 or 3 months earlier, and she was teaching like chemistry, she was teaching IGs and A-levels and whatnot. So, and she was making good money from what I heard. So I thought it would be an interesting way to perhaps extend myself, but also make some money at the same time. So right now I'm teaching a few kids some IGCSE subjects like chem, math, and PE. It has been really rewarding at times, sometimes really frustrating and annoying. Yeah, so tuition has been the main thing for me. What else? I haven't been doing anything new per se. There have been things that I'm supposed to do, like sign language for DOE. Shiv, how has DOE been?
I'm probably gonna give up on it. I mean, one of them was pool, I think. I can't play pool anymore.
I can't believe pool is an actual thing for DOE.
Yeah, it seems like a cop out.
It must have been skill. Was it skill?
It was sport, because I couldn't play football anymore after.
I think your service was volunteering as coach for the U13 basketball and football girls.
I won for that. So bad. I don't even know how to play basketball.
And that led to 26 hours of logs.
I should probably finish the early.
I guess I have been trying to get close to a couple of neighborhood cats.
That's adorable!
Okay. A few days ago, I was walking around my neighborhood, but there was this cat. It was very, very cute. And then there was another kitten. So then I saw him, and I just got on my knees. They started rubbing themselves against him. And yeah, they were definitely very open to being at it. Yeah, I even carried one of the cats, which is interesting because I never got to carry Emma properly once. But then with this cat, like, it just let me pick it up and then let me walk around with it for a while.
That's quite sweet.
I mean, for everyone who doesn't know, Emma is the cat that we rescued from outside of Shiv's house when we went to open our results.
That was
she stays with me now. Oh, but interestingly, I still keep in close contact with her previous owner.
Oh, cool.
And, like, I send her pictures of Emma and stuff. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, I'm probably banned from Nicole's house at this point.
I don't think so. I was wondering, Shiv, have you had like any opportunities to like join societies or like make friends or close friends within like your cohort or your uni?
That's the thing. So I've joined a couple of societies. So Malaysian Society, PPE Society, which is for PPE students. I joined Football Society, which is weird that there's a society.
Ooh.
But Isaac and I were talking about it when we went to Loughborough. I suppose I've made friends, but not like close friends. Like you can never get very close to them, which is quite sad.
Do you feel like the dynamic or like the way university is set up is it makes it a little bit more difficult to form like close friendships?
Yeah.
I don't know, because like I
for sure, because you don't do a lot of things together. Like most,
exactly.
Most friendships start because you're like forced to be in the same room together, and you sort of like have to spend time with the person. But in uni, you just
do your own thing. I get what you mean. I feel like you have to be a lot more intentional about like the friendships you want to make or like the relationships you want to like form, I guess. Especially when it's online, because I have like made friends and we do like Zoom calls with especially like my small group teaching like friends. But it's very different to how you would spend time with people in school or like, you know, chill at the common room and stuff like that. Because if you want to talk to them, it has to have a purpose, I guess. So there's no just chilling, which is a bit sad.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know. I think that's the whole process of like uni, and I think that's what adult friendships are like, you know, honestly.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound depressing?
Well, it kind of is. Oh, yeah. Nicole, what have you been
all right. Like so here? I've been doing online school, like I mentioned earlier, I guess. So, like, the way school is set up for me is that they record a bunch of videos or lectures, I watch them, and then I go back and I do my own studying. And then, like, twice a week, I'll have like a small group teaching thing where I meet up with a group of like 9 people, we discuss a scenario and things like that. But I think the thing that most disappointed me, no, maybe not disappointed me, but most unexpected for me is that medical school is a lot more about memorizing and less about learning and real understanding than I expected it to be. So I guess I was a little bit sad about that. I was very excited about learning a lot of content, and especially the way things are delivered in university. I found it not up to my expectations, I guess. Especially, you know how when we were complaining about teachers in school, I actually think that a lot of them are much better than my lecturers at uni.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Because the lecturers don't have any sort of like attachment to like the student. Yeah. And like, I don't know. I don't want to say they're dumber, but maybe they just don't put in as much effort.
I agree. Oh my gosh. I don't think they're dumb, but I don't think they really put in effort to help you understand the stuff they're talking about. They just say whatever they want to say and then they just leave.
Yeah. In your small group teaching, right? Is it with a separate lecturer or is it a seminar tutor or postgrad? What's it like? Like who conducts it?
So our small group teachings are called PBL sessions. Uh-huh. So it stands for problem-based learning. So we have a facilitator that's the same throughout like the semester. It like rotates the classes and the like person mediating the whole thing rotates. But yeah, so they're professors for medicine, I think, or like general natural sciences. So we get presented with like a scenario, but it's supposed to be largely individual based learning or team based learning. So the facilitator isn't supposed to teach us stuff. We as a group are supposed to discuss like a medical scenario, come up with teaching things, like teaching prompts or like questions that we go back and research on our own. Then we come back and then we discuss again. So it's supposed to be very independent of the facilitator. I don't know what, I actually quite like it because it lets me like speak to people about like the subject, I guess. But then I also find that it is very unstructured and I don't know whether I like it as much because I don't know how much depth we need to go into like certain topics. So I feel like I'm very alone when I do it. How about you? What are your small group teaching sessions like, Chief?
I mean, that's the thing, because my small group teaching sessions, like, they're called seminars. They're not conducted by a professor. So they're conducted by a postgrad who's doing his PhD or master's or something. And, like I said before, they're probably in it just so that they could get a job. They don't care at all about what you answer. Like, they'll give you time to discuss a certain question, like, that you're supposed to research before class. And some stupid person will always say something stupid. And the lecturer or the postgrad guy will just go, yes, that's an interesting point you have there. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not even related. And the problem is they're experts in something else, but they can sort of teach the subject to freshers. And I get so pissed off. And I have that every day. It's like seminars teaching that every single day.
Every day.
That's deep in my soul.
Oh yeah, I was just wondering, how have you found the math? The math part of your subject,
math,
that is.
It is very, very hard. I regret not doing A-level math. It is the hardest. I've spent entire days neglecting all other work, just trying to figure out what math is like. I still have to, like, most of my revision over the holidays has been math, actually.
You've been revising over the holidays?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to. I mean, except when I went to Loughborough, that was a bit. There was no way to revise, let's put it that way.
I think this is a good segue.
Oh.
I mean, no, do tell us a bit about it. You don't have to what tell us all the details. Just tell us what
it was. It was fun. It was fun meeting up with old friends again. And it was like, yeah, what I said about like meeting close friends, it's different. Like, I think what Nicole said, you can just chill with them. You don't necessarily have to do anything, and you get a sort of different experience than with friends here. I honestly felt like I was back in A-level, because you can just talk freely. You don't have to reinvent yourself. You don't have to explain some cultural stuff that some people might not necessarily understand. So when we went there, we just went there to relax and chill for a bit. So we went around Loughborough, seeing the sights, meeting Elisa's friends, getting to know them a bit better.
How are they?
I mean, they were fun. I mean, the context under which we met them didn't necessarily yield the most truthful picture, if you catch my drift. Oh, God. it was a good break from, you know, just me being alone, because all my flatmates have left the flat, so it was a good break for me just being alone on the flat.
So you're alone now?
Currently still. What is kind of creepy is the room next to me was open when I came back, and it's been locked the whole year. I don't have a roommate, but it's open now, and there's stuff inside, but there's no one inside, which is quite creepy.
I'm scared.
Yeah,
already.
It's like right next to my room. It's weird.
Shiv, can you talk us through, I guess, the process of being on your own and adjusting to living in a new country as well?
Honestly, I think you have to be very comfortable being by yourself. I don't know, before this, like, basic things like when I first came, doing the laundry and cooking, I always needed to do it with somebody. Not because I didn't know how to do it. Like, after the first few times, you sort of get a hang of it, but you feel more comfortable and you feel like there's a lower chance of you screwing it up or messing it up. But you have to be very comfortable with the idea that you can fail on your own. And I feel like when you're comfortable with yourself, you can try a lot of new things. And that's good because, you know, you can sort of make the most of your experience here. But it's a hard transition, especially if you haven't done it before.
I feel like what you said about being comfortable with yourself, I feel like that's the one of the more important things that I would say I'm trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
People always talk about their goals in life being like something tangible, but I feel like this is something intangible that will help you in a lot of other areas in your life. Like you said, moving to a new country, trying out new things, and especially when you're trying to do things that I guess your friends are not necessarily doing, or trying to branch out to do different things, I guess it's very helpful to be comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, for sure. It's like you gain more confidence as well. And you're just yourself more of the time instead of pandering to what your friends might want to do or stuff like that.
Nicole, when do you start your online uni classes again, along with your tutoring?
Okay, so for everyone who didn't know, I sort of paused all my like tutoring like jobs, I guess. Not tutoring jobs. I guess students that I was tutoring, I sort of gave them a holiday for a month because I felt like I really needed a break. at that point, I had been tutoring alongside like doing online school for medicine and stuff. So I'm going to be starting like school again on the 11th, and I'm starting teaching next week again.
Yeah. How was that experience for you, like then, like not having tuition and not having school? Like, how was that for you?
So I actually, when I stopped like teaching or like tutoring, that was like 2 weeks before my exam. So I had like lots more time in my day actually. Whether I use them productively or just wasted it on YouTube and reading like random stuff on Kindle and stuff, that's questionable. But I think having a lot more free time just made me feel a lot more relaxed, I guess. Less anxious and less rushed, in the sense that I didn't do like studying feeling that I had something else to do. It was like my main priority, I guess, which was nice. I mean, it made studying a lot less stressful. Also, I don't know if you've noticed this shift, but like the grades that you get in uni is a lot different to like the grades you get in school, in that it's impossible to get an A. Yes. Have you noticed?
Like the first time I got, what was it? Not even math. Like the first time I got math, I was like, oh, you know, math. I'm bad at math, fine. First time I got my econs grades back, because I thought I was relatively good at econs, I cried. I actually cried. It's so hard to get a good grade. But how, I don't know about you, but like how I'm graded right for econs and most of my subjects, if I get a point wrong, so if I, either the point or the analysis of that point, if it's slightly wrong, I get marked down by 5.
Out of 100 then?
What do you mean?
As in like the full marks would be 100, and every time you get something wrong, it's minus 5.
You get, every time you get something right is 1. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of potential to get marked down. It's so demoralizing. I don't know.
I know. I mean, there's only one piece of work that I have gotten back a grade for so far. And it was like a report. And I felt like I did the report really well. But I ended up with like a B as well. Like a B. And then I was like, oh my gosh. I was actually really disappointed with myself. Because like in A-levels and stuff, it's very common to get things like A's and A-stars. As long as you work hard for it. But like in uni, it's very different. Because even though you work hard for it, you're like just not that good. Or I don't know if it's more strict.
I think it's definitely more strict. Because if you're getting B's, then it's definitely more strict.
Hi.
This bodes well for me.
No, I think just don't get demoralized when you see the when you get your grades back. And if you get good grades, that means you're better than everyone else.
Because like, I talked to seniors about it, and then they were like, oh, if you get a C, that's good. And I was like, what on earth? No, but like for real, like C is counted a good grade. And like A is impossible. B is like good. D is like normal. D is a normal grade. Even though it's a pass mark, it's a normal grade. And I was horrified. Like it's so different from what we expect, you know?
Don't you guys miss the days when, I don't know about you, Nicole, but like Jay, when you could play football in your school uniform, sweat a lot, come back to like history class or something, there'll be an unexpected test that you missed. You do the test and still get good grades without a care in the world. I miss those days, man.
I know what you mean. Because, like, the amount of times where we had, like, surprise tests and we still do okay, that's long gone, Shiv. Long gone. Wait, today is, like, okay, so we're recording this on the 30th, right? I was just wondering if you guys had any, like, reflections or anything you'd like to say about the new year / reflecting back on this year.
Well, I mean, this is not a reflection. Do you guys feel that from the start of the year to the end of the year, and in what ways, I guess, would you say changed or developed?
This is an interesting question because I think the circumstances we are in now is very different to the circumstances we were in previously, in that we're not in the school environment, we're not surrounded by people, we don't really have a schedule to stick to, I guess. We're mostly on our own, except during term time. It's not term time now. But I feel like that in itself will change our personalities a lot, in that if we have things to adhere to, responsibilities, i.e. school, it would make us very different from if we were just like holidaying or in uni, I guess. So for me, I think the way I approach studies and work, I'm pretty much the same, in that I'm really organized and I like to do things on time and ahead so I don't get stressed. But in terms of, I guess, thinking, or like personal reflection, I think I'm more reflective, in that I think a lot about my actions, what I do. I've started journaling actually, for a couple months. I stopped doing it during exam time because of exams, but I just felt like I've been thinking a lot more and being reflective about the things I'm doing. Maybe that's also because of the circumstance in that I'm alone more. I'm not sort of surrounded by people, so I'm not being bombarded by sort of other people's thoughts and opinions, so I've had more time to think about what I think about, I guess.
I sort of feel the same way. My studying, like, patterns and habits haven't changed, which means that I procrastinate a lot and then study last minute. I feel like I've put a lot of... There's a newfound emphasis on what I like to call admin work, which is sort of take out the trash, make sure you buy your groceries so that you don't starve to death, plan out your day for tomorrow, like simple things, do laundry, clean up your room, wash the dishes. And I feel like that has given me a lot more responsibility. So for those of you who don't know, I think Nicole and Jaren are very familiar with this. During A-levels, I was notorious for never washing my dishes at all.
So
bad. It sounds trivial, but like ever since I started washing my dishes and doing stuff like that, I feel like there's a newfound sort of responsibility. Like I can take care of myself better. I feel more efficient, and I don't know. I feel like I have more control over my life, which sounds really trivial, but it, I don't know, it somehow works.
That's interesting that you mentioned control over your life, because in theory, in university, like the way university courses are structured, it's supposed to give us more control, I feel like. More control over our study, how we use our time, things like that. And I actually feel like that's happened. I actually really like being in control of like the way I study, therefore skipping school a lot and only turning up when like lessons are like happening. But I felt like I was really able to sort of manage my own time and like plan out when I was going to watch certain things and when I was going to like research for my small group teachings and things like that. I don't know. That's the one thing that I really liked about the way uni is structured.
Do you have monitoring points, Nicole?
Huh? I mean, sorry, what's that?
Like a certain amount of lectures and small group teachings you have to attend.
Okay. So how my course runs is that we have like a bunch of lectures in like, say, 5 to 6 a week that's pre-recorded ahead of time. And then I've got end of week like lecture sessions where it's more of a Q&A style thing or a feedback session where they give us questions and we do them. So those we're supposed to attend. And then the rest, we just watch the pre-recorded lectures. But for small group teachings, we have to show up. So things like the ones I mentioned earlier. And then we've also got one called vocational studies, which is basically glorified moral. If you guys have been in like government school before, you know, when they teach you about, oh, these are the things you should do, but like for doctors. So they'll be like, oh, confidentiality, treat your patients well, things like that. So those are like compulsory to attend. How about you? Do you have to like attend all your lectures? Or like a percentage, I guess?
No, it's like, that's what I feel like the sort of control is greater. Because for my course, you only have to attend, again, the lectures are pre-recorded. So you only have to attend one live lecture a week. And one seminar a week. Yeah,
that's lovely.
You have a lot of control over what. Obviously, you're encouraged to attend all of them, but you have a lot of control over how you study and how you manage your time, more so than I did at A levels. I think. I know you get to explore a lot of things that you're interested in and live in the real world more.
I mean, for some people, like this kind of time, like time management, may be too much. In that without responsibilities or without obligations, it's difficult to sort of stay on track and like make sure you get things done. But I love it. So it's really nice. How about you, Jay? How have you changed?
I think what Shiv said, I agree with a lot, actually. Even though I haven't been at university, I do feel like I've developed a bit more responsibility, I guess, in the house, in the sense that I've mainly been the one doing the laundry, and I've found that folding has given me a lot of satisfaction as well. Like after you fold everything, you put it in the drawers or like the cupboards, and it's like, you know.
I don't agree with you there, but I was like, give me satisfaction. I literally have like a week's old laundry, like wash clothes still in the bag because I can't be asked to fold them.
She was so lovely.
Marie Kondo folds her shirts, like the Marie Kondo fold. I know I've talked to Nicole about it, and Nicole's like, she doesn't particularly like it because of like the folds or the creases.
Exactly.
And then, like, you can like put them next to each other.
So yeah, folding clothes, hanging clothes have been things that have given me some satisfaction.
But I think in terms of like my work habits, nothing has changed, I must say. I'm still the procrastinator.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. I think if I really made an effort to clean up my sleep schedule, I wouldn't have to like prepare my tuition classes until the very last minute. Because the way I do my tuition classes is, my tuition classes are Sunday to Wednesday. So after Wednesday, Thursday to Friday will be chill. Then Saturday will also be chill. And then Sunday, I'll prepare the tuition class for Sunday afternoon. And then Monday morning, the tuition for Monday afternoon. Yeah, nothing has changed in that aspect. Social skills have been somewhat okay because I still see my friends every now and then, like Aiden that lives nearby, Charmaine as well. Nicole, I think you talked about this before, your social skills during lockdown.
Oh yeah, because I don't particularly live near anyone. I mean, technically, it's a 5-minute drive from Shiv, well, when you were in Malaysia anyway. Yeah. But I haven't really left the house properly since lockdown started. So the good thing about it is that I've been talking a lot more with my mom, and I've been hanging out with my siblings a lot more. Like over the Christmas holidays, we've played like about 20 million, okay, I'm just kidding, about 20 plus board games. Wow. So I felt like that's nice in that I'm a little bit closer to my family, closer than I would have been without this whole lockdown thing, but also kind of that I don't really know how to interact with people my age, I guess. I feel like I'm going to be much more awkward when I go to uni now. As in, after this whole thing is over. I feel like family dynamics is very different from friend dynamics. I act pretty much the same way in that I don't like change myself to act proper in front of my family. But I feel like the dynamics are different enough that I need to be exposed at least like once every while. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Stop eating, it's literally like 2 in the afternoon. How are you not hungry?
I am hungry, that's what I'm eating.
I can't believe this.
Yeah, sorry. You're saying you.
I was just wondering, what is your favorite household chore?
Favorite? I don't like doing any of them.
This is a burning question.
I think cooking is quite relaxing, actually.
You cook now?
Yeah.
My goodness.
I made a lot. I made like pasta, rendang. I made rendang. Made chicken curry.
Whoa.
Ooh.
What else did I make? I made steak. I made quite a lot.
Oh my god. I'm so proud of you, Shiv.
Thank you.
You've come a long way from not washing your dishes.
Indeed, I have.
So yeah, I assume you love folding clothes then?
I think hanging clothes and folding. Yes. I mean, vacuuming is okay. It's just okay.
I love vacuuming.
Yeah, I remember now. I mean, vacuuming is Nicole's favorite.
For those of you that don't know, Nicole has a Bluetooth Siri operated. What is that? What else? It also has Alexa. It can also clean the dishes.
Clean the dishes? But you know what happened? I think I told you, but that died. It was like a Google Home Mini. It died. Because lightning struck my house one night, like for real. And then there was a power outage, a power surge, and it died. So, my vacuum cleaner died that night as well. It's very tragic.
Did you get a new one?
Not yet. My mom was like, let's wait and like research properly. And I was like, I need something to fill the void. So, I've been washing dishes a lot. I love washing dishes too. Oh, they're quite fun.
How are they fun?
You get all soapy.
It's pain. Well, how's that fun?
There's one question I would like to ask, I guess. What would be the greatest, like the biggest lesson you learned this year? I guess it doesn't have to be a single lesson, but lessons maybe.
You can't do everything on your own is what I really learned when I came here. Like independence is good and all, but you have to really talk to others and like ask for their help if you want to. For instance, a good example would be when I was going to Loughborough, the first time around I used a coach, so a bus, but there were 2 stops, 2 exchanges. And the second exchange, I actually missed my bus because I was in the wrong place. So then I had to spend a lot more money just to get to Loughborough. But if I just asked, or really just like, I guess not had the pride that I had just to ask someone where the bus was, I wouldn't have wasted like £27. So I suppose that was the biggest lesson I learned. You really have to, especially if you're in your new place, or even if you're doing something that you don't usually do, asking for help isn't always a bad thing. It isn't a sign of weakness, I guess.
I feel like that's something I've been trying to learn as well, especially since I'm online. And a lot of the times when you don't understand something, there's no like immediate way you can gain an answer, as in there's no lecturer there that you can just ask. Like, it's not in school anymore where you raise your hand and ask a question. I guess this has taught me to be really sort of like to put away sort of your pride and just like email the lecturer and just like ask your question, or like, you know, search it up online or ask friends and things like that. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good lesson to learn.
How about you guys?
I can't say there've been any concrete lessons, but there's a process that I'm still going through, and that is to realize that, okay, this is going to sound bad, but not everybody is caring about you 24/7. But what I mean by that is, sometimes in maybe like friend group situations, or maybe when you're tutoring, or when you're just like, you know, situation with other people, you might feel that you've made a certain mistake, or you might feel that you've been overly awkward. But I guess something I've been trying to keep telling myself is that they probably don't care about it as much as you do. And like the insecurities you might have, say about your speech or your behavior, any of that sort, people aren't really care much about that. So that has been the lesson that I've learned.
You know what's interesting about that is that I recently heard something from someone called Tim Ferriss. I don't know if you guys know about him, but he also has a podcast. And I think it was one of his interviews, but they were talking about sort of what people care about when you do things. For example, if you go to attend a concert, what you're trying to get out of it is like enjoyment or music, right? Something like having fun. But let's say you're the performer, you might worry about a lot of things that people don't really care about, like how you look or like little mistakes on the stage. But in the grand scheme of things, people that go to watch, say, that performance don't really care about, I guess, how you look at that very moment or little flaws or imperfections. It's something I struggled with as well, because I used to perform quite a lot and I used to be very self-conscious about many things. So I guess it helps to put things into perspective a little bit better when you've realized that not everyone cares about you, I guess, in the ways that you think.
And I think that kind of links to what Shiv said near the start. He mentioned about being comfortable with yourself, being comfortable with the idea of failing. Yeah.
Another thing I guess I learned this year was sort of tying into being reflective, in that you should stop once in a while and just think about the things you have, I guess. So this is going to sound really cheesy because it's basically about gratitude and appreciating the things you have. But a lot of research has shown that people that are able to show gratitude, or people that are able to think about the things that make them happy, are in the end happier in life. So a lot of like psychology research has gone into this. Like, it's called positive psychology, I think. But I've been going on night walks with my mom a lot recently, and it's been really cool in Malaysia because it's like the rainy season. And like once in a while, I'll just think to myself, like, this is like really nice. Like, I'm walking with my mom and like we have a nice relationship, you know. And then once in a while, my mom like drags my siblings along. Like, they don't really like to go on walks, but then I'll think, that's nice, they come along and things like that. Stopping, I guess, stopping to think about where you've come, because up to this point, I think I've tried to accomplish a lot of things in very little time. Like, especially for us, when we were involved in school, we were involved like in a billion things and we were juggling like A-levels along with that. So I guess lockdown has given me a chance to sort of slow down as well.
True. Also, enjoy those night walks while you can. You're not going to be able to do it in the UK.
Why?
It's freezing. Even with like your jacket and everything, it's freezing. Actually, you have to get most of your shopping, everything done by 4, or else...
By 4?
The sun sets at 4.
What yeah. the... No
I'm
way!
It sets at 4.
We were video calling the other night and it was like pitch black. And then what time was it? I don't know. It was like, I think it was 4, 5 or 6.
4 or something. Yeah.
It was actually pitch black.
Are you affected by the weather? Like by the long, short days?
100%. When it hits night, you just, everything goes. Like you don't feel like working anymore. I don't know. I mean, even though I work better at night, it's just, you know, the energy of the day is just sapped from you. And you can't go out. I mean, you can go outside, but like, it's always cold. I don't know. I feel like I'm complaining way too much, but it's always cold. It's always freezing. You know why I realized this? You know why British people walk so fast? It's because it's cold. And if you don't have pockets in your jacket, your fingers aren't going to move. Like, they'll literally stay frozen. I'm not lying. It's happened before. I sound like an old grandpa. I'm literally talking about the weather. That's what old people do.
That's the most British thing ever. Talking about the weather. I swear, all like my facilitator does, like before we start our sessions, is talk about the weather. He'll be like, "Oh, how's it over there in Malaysia? Is it cold?" And I'll be like, "No, it's not. It's never cold." Have you guys been reading any books?
Mm-hmm. Go on, Shay.
No, I'm trying to look for it. It's in here somewhere. What have you guys been?
I have read a couple, but I was wondering if you had any nice books that you've been reading.
The Trial. Franz Kafka. I don't know how much you like it. It's slightly philosophical, but it's very interesting. It's all about the bureaucracy of modern society and how it's very inescapable, but also possible to escape at the same time. It is very mind bending. I would say it's a book that you can't relax and read. I would say. You have to really dig into it. But I don't know, it's fun. It's like one of the best books I've read so far.
Can we get a book review on the Encyclopedia of Everything?
Yeah, sure. I was actually thinking of restarting it. I don't know, I wanted to write something. I haven't properly sat down and wrote just for pleasure in a while. You guys have as well. You guys have to start as well. Come on.
Well, I was busy with uni stuff, you know? Okay, yeah. I don't know. I had, like, because for me, when I write, I feel like it takes a lot of mental energy, more so than studying. What? I don't know why. Like,
writing is so relaxing.
I don't naturally write well, in that it actually is a very effortful thing for me to write. I feel like writing is a skill that everyone should have, which is why I really wanted to start the blog to, like, write my thoughts, because they say you shouldn't like think then write. You should write to think. It helps your thinking process in that. So, but it still is very effortful for me. So that's why I haven't really kept up with it.
Honestly, I think we don't have to create, like, I don't know, revolutionary pieces of work. It could just be, we don't have to research and just pour out what you feel. It is a personal blog after all.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But Shiv, you're like a very poetic person. So, like, even if you pour out your thoughts, it will sound good. If it's me, it just sounds like, you know, me, like a grandma complaining. Jay, you were saying, sorry.
Oh, I think I was asking you about what books you have read.
Actually, over the, like, winter holidays, I actually brought out one of the old fantasy series that I was reading. I think it's called Red Queen. I actually really like, when I was younger, I read, like, a lot of fantasy fiction. And this is, like, it was really nice to, like, sort of lose myself. Oh, that sounds horribly cheesy. But, like, lose yourself in a different world again. I don't know. And the characters, like, are, like, going through a lot of different things that are, like, not possible in real life. And I found that very interesting. And it was very nice.
What is it called again?
Just read for pleasure. Red Queen. I think it's Victoria A. Avar.
Yeah. There's a whole, like, yeah.
Series.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a series. I finished it in, like, two
days. Wow.
It was really good.
Of course you did.
I mean, I'm not sure if you guys know this about me, but I'm actually a very fast reader. Like all my siblings, all three of us are very fast readers. Like, we don't like to wait for, like, savoring the book. We just read the book. So we finish books very quickly. So as you can imagine, like, when we were younger, we would get through books extremely fast. So, like, my mom would set, like, a quota, like, how many books we could buy a month, because we would get through them too fast. But it was very nice to just read, like, just to read for fun after so long. But it is fantasy, so it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Shiv, you do that as
Jay,
well.
Jay, how about you? Quotas
with anime series.
Sorry?
It's so bad. Nicole's actually doing reading. It enhances your knowledge. I just binge watch anime series. I mean, I use it as a form of escape, the same as you, but it's slightly different. No, it's not slightly different, it's very different.
It was partially.
Why'd you get me started in anime?
You've delved much harder than I've ever expected.
You told me to watch Graveyard of the Fireflies, and then that's where it started.
Right. Nicole watched I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
She watched it with us.
Yeah. She watched it with us.
She said it was a cliche movie, which broke my heart.
Well, it was okay.
Okay? It was the... Have you read The Little Prince?
I was going to, but I got carried away with other things.
The Little Prince, and then come back. It's so... What we were talking about, what was it? Friendship, right? I feel like The Little Prince captures what friendship really means, like, down to a T. And it's like pessimistic and optimistic at the same time. Oh my god, it's good. Do you remember the scene with the fox, Jay? He met a fox, and then the fox got scared of him in the beginning. But then he just stayed there, and gradually, as time passed, the fox got closer and closer to him, which was a metaphor for how friendships work. So essentially, the one component needed for a friendship is time spent together, which, if you think about it, makes sense, which is why you can't be close to people you just meet instantly, because you need time. So such a good book, and that was translated into the movie, and it's like...
I mean, it is true. I mean... All good friendships need time, right? But I think the birth of some special friendships, they just happen like suddenly, like unexpectedly. And I think that happened with Sakura and he who will not be named.
Wait, what?
I mean, because his name is not known in the anime, right? But it's...
It is.
Oh, in the... Wait.
He says that at the very end.
Oh, in the movie he does. Right.
Yeah. And then that's why they were perfect for each other, because he was the tree and she was the blossom.
You know, the one thing I am slightly not fond of about... What's the film called? I Want to Eat Your Pancreas. Yeah. The one thing I'm not fond of is the idea that they are both fated, that this whole thing was fated.
But it isn't, though. Because, like, a lot of people say that it's love, but a lot of people miss out on, like, the last bit when she was, like, in the dream land or whatever, after she was already, you know, dead. I spoiled, but you can censor that. She says that their relationship was not quite that of friends, but not quite that of lovers. So, like, I feel like it's perfectly what Jiren said. It's, like, a special form of bond that doesn't require time to form. But it's purely spontaneous. Like, in the beginning of the movie, he found her diary. So it's, like, a spontaneous sort of thing that wasn't fate.
Fair enough.
That's why I like it so much. The storytelling is just...
We should do an episode about books and movies that we like. One more tangent, but like, have you guys watched Lord of the Rings or read the books or Hobbit or anything?
I haven't read.
I've watched all the.
What
Hobbit,
do you say, Jay? Sorry,
I haven't watched any of the Lord of the Rings or read any of the books.
Okay, because like I've noticed that with all like fantasy books and things, I realize that there's so much to be learned from like imaginary worlds because they paint things in very like physical and tangible ways. It's metaphors for everything in our world. I don't know. There's so much to learn. And when I watched it, I felt so sad and scared, I guess, for what the film represented. But never mind. It's a bit random today, but that's the beauty of it, I guess. Unplanned stuff.
Clearly unclear.
Okay, how about what are a few things that you're grateful for this year? I think the first thing that I was grateful for was
to be able to graduate from sixth form in person together.
That really, really meant a lot to me, to be able to have that experience together. And then the night that followed was pretty meaningful as well.
That was a very nice night.
That was something I was really, really grateful for. What else? I'm grateful for
technology, that I'm still able to
still speak with my friends on Discord or WhatsApp, Instagram. I guess those are things that I really appreciate. Sometimes send like posts or funny videos or memes, stuff like that to me. Yeah, those are things that I really appreciate. So yeah, there's another thing I'm grateful for.
I guess it's similar in the fact that, like, I feel like I'm more aware of, like, how privileged I am that, like, my parents have money enough that I'm able to, like, go to university and, like, get an education. I feel like I'm more aware of that, especially when people, especially in, like, this COVID-19 pandemic, people are losing jobs. People don't really have food to eat. Some people are, like, you know, suffering. Whereas I am relatively, like, I'm still living life relatively normal in that I still have food on the table and I'm still, like, able to get an education and stuff. That's the thing I'm grateful for, I guess.
Yeah, I think most of mine is the same as yours. Like, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to come here because I think I really learned a lot. Not so much education-wise, but really what it's like living on your own. And I guess we talked a bit about it, like being independent and stuff. But also graduation, I forgot, but you brought that up. I'm actually quite grateful that we got to graduate all together in person because a lot of people didn't get that opportunity. I don't know about you guys, but I really miss A-levels. I miss the friends that we had. Yeah.
I wonder whether it's just us missing school life this much, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly. It seems a bit odd, but...
So do you, any of you have, like, resolutions for the next year then?
I've actually wanted to start my own company for a while, so I hope that'll be a thing next year. My flatmates who do computer science, and they're quite good at it. Like, we've been having some late nights and we developed a piece of software, a trading software that can it's quantitative trading software that like trades automatically. It's like a robot trader, if you will. So now we just need the capital to trade with, which means we need a company.
That sounds exciting too.
That's cool, actually.
And hopefully it goes well.
How about you, Jay?
I don't know, because normally I guess the answer would be make sure I'm in university by next year. But then if things end up being that I'm not in university next year, I think I would be actually okay with it. I don't know. I'd like, if possible, to complete my DOE. I think I have like 7-8 hours left. I could finish it in a few days if I really put in the effort. Okay, you know, that's going to be my first goal. And maybe start blogging more regularly. Yeah, maybe shorter posts on a more frequent basis.
Cole, how about you?
I feel like I really wanted to step up, like, my reading game, like, because I used to read quite a lot, but during term time, especially this term, I realized I didn't read at all, and I really want to, like, be a bit more consistent with, like, reading outside of medicine. I feel like I really want to keep sort of a wide, broad view of the world. That sounds cheesy, but, like, understanding different points of view, not just through the lens of medicine. And also, to be more healthy and exercise more often. I really need to exercise more often. Seriously.
That should be my goal as well, yeah. Oh my god, I really do need to exercise a lot. The food here is very fatty, so I do need to exercise a lot.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider following the podcast to receive notifications every time we upload.
If you would like to learn more about the three of us and our diverse interests, link to our respective blogs are available in the show notes.
Also, should you have any suggestions for improvement, please feel free to email us at clearlyunclearpodcast@gmail.com.
And they're there.
I would give you a
so nice, but... you know, like for like objective subjects like math and econs, when someone gets something completely wrong, the guy will be like, oh no, you know, you should just do it like this and you should try again. And I'll be like, my god, this is like IG stuff. Just tell him he's a dumb. Like, he needs a good slapping. Oh my god. Don't encourage him. I got him.